Well, good morning again, and I trust that you are enjoying your holiday weekend. We, of course, this weekend celebrate our freedom, and we are going to continue our celebration of freedom. We celebrate the freedom that we have in this country, and we're going to celebrate the freedom that we are blessed with in Christ. And so we really have much to celebrate. In spite of these trying times economically, we are in many ways blessed and have much to rejoice about, whether we know it or not, I think, at times. One of the things that may, in fact, surprise you, in fact, Kevin, if you would pop up that first, the Geauga County PowerPoint up there. Forbes magazine publishes annually 20 best places to live in the country, and they base their choice on things, quality of school systems, cost of living, graduation rate, percentage of homes occupied, air quality, religious climate, proximity to friends and family. Geauga County came in at number 4. Isn't that amazing? So Geauga County, the surrounding counties, I'm sure have a lot to do with that as well. And out of the whole country, I thought that was kind of impressive, and number 4 out of the top 10. So that's something to celebrate. The grass is not always greener on the other side, right? So you can drop that down if you want to, but you can shut that off, Kevin. But I thought that was kind of interesting, out of the whole country, to see that. It really is a good place to live, this greater surrounding area, and a good place to raise your family. And so we're not only blessed in our county, in our surrounding counties, but we're blessed in our country as well. We have to acknowledge that. And the freedom that we so enjoy in this country, we well know, came as a great price to many. And it's appropriate that we celebrate our freedom and celebrate this country with a holiday honoring the men and women and our independence, that gave us our independence. I have a short video I want to share with you just for a moment this morning, but how many of you this morning remember Red Skelton? Who knows who Red Skelton is? Who never heard of Red Skelton? That's what I figured. Kids are going, who? Well, he was very well-known movie star, TV primarily, in some movie. He had a show from about 50 to 70-something, one of the longest-running shows. But if we can pull up that DVD, and you'll get a kick out of watching this for a minute this morning.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Lasswell was his name. Mr. Lasswell, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?
Well, that video was from 1969, believe it or not. Some of you may have heard it a couple times on the radio, but quality's not the best on it because of where it came from, but it's worth seeing. It has twice since then been read into the Congressional Record of the United States and received numerous awards just for that, his little thing he did that day. But as we rejoice in our country's freedom that so many have fought for and love our country, we must do so, I believe, with the understanding that God has, in fact, blessed this country. That we live in a country that's blessed, this land of ours, by God. And I believe we live in one of the greatest or the greatest country in the world because of God's hand resting upon our country. And the fact that we can proclaim our liberty and stand for all the things that we stand for and believe in them. And if we consider where our country is today as believers in Christ and His Word, we would readily agree that our country is in need of prayer. Amen? We still live in the best country. When you travel to some of these third world countries and even some of the other countries, we really live in the best country in the world. But we really need to continue to want God's hand on our land and our country. And if we desire God's hand for His hand, if we desire that God continues His hand of favor and grace on our country, we need to understand that we desire not only for ourselves, but for our children's future as well. For the land and for what our future and our grandchildren. And if we really want that, I believe we must meet God in prayer. If that's what we want, we need to pray for the things we want. We all know 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, I believe prayer is something we often take for granted. And yet, there are many places in this world that if you were to pray as a believer, as a Christian, you would be persecuted or even killed for it. I get these persecution reports occasionally through some religious news in my emails, and it's staggering how many people are still killed today because they proclaim Christ, or if they share Christ, or just pray publicly. And if we know and believe that God answers prayer and desires to hear from His children, I have to wonder, why would we ever take that for granted? And yet I believe we'd have to all admit at times we take prayer for granted. A few weeks ago, we gathered in groups of three and four and prayed for individual needs, and I had you write down the prayer needs of the person that you prayed for, the different people, and keep them with you and continue to pray. And some have said that really blessed them, and they enjoyed that and have continued to pray from that service. And so in a few moments, I feel that God led us once again to do that today in a little different fashion, but we're going to gather in prayer a little bit. But we have to do so understanding and believing that God hears and answers our prayer, doesn't He? God desires to hear from us and wants to hear from us, and He answers it. So today I'm going to ask you to pray appropriately for your country and then for your church. And as I said, I want you to know that I really believe this is God's direction for today. I was seeking the heart of God earlier in the week, and I really felt that he wanted us to get together and pray as a church. And I believe he spoke this. And God desires to hear from you. He wants to hear from his children. And the Word has much to say about prayer. The Bible speaks a lot about prayer. And, of course, if we ever watch the model of Christ, we know that he prayed often, that he didn't do anything without first praying and seeking his Father. But James 5 tells us this: confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Listen to it out of the Living Bible. Admit your faults to one another and pray for each other that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. And when you look at the whole original wording of that scripture, it means that it's effective. Your prayer is effective, and your prayer is working, and your prayer is powerful. And so sometimes I think we fail to remember that, and maybe even forget it, and sometimes don't even believe it. We feel we're praying, but our prayers aren't being heard. But God hears and answers our prayers, and he moves only when he hears the prayer of the believers. And I think we need to be reminded of that. If we truly believe that, I think we would pray more often, wouldn't we? There's some wonderful stories of prayer. Listen, I came across this stuff that was really interesting. I'm going to read this to you here. During the Mau Mau uprising in Kenya in 1960, missionaries Matt and Laura Higgins were returning one night near Arbi through the heart of Mau Mau territory, where Kenyans and missionaries alike had been killed and dismembered. 17 miles outside of Nairobi, their Land Rover stopped. Higgins tried to repair the car in the dark, but could not restart it. They spent the night in the car, but claimed Psalm 4:8, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you, O Lord, alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." In the morning, they were able to repair the car and continue their trip. A few weeks later, the Higginses returned to America on furlough. They reported that the night before they left Nairobi, a local pastor had visited them. He told how a member of the Mau Mau had confessed that he and three others had crept up to the car to kill the Higgins. But when they saw 16 men surrounding the car, their Mau Mau had left in fear. 16 men, Higgins responded, I don't know what you mean. While they were on furlough, a friend, Clay Brent, asked the Higgins if they had been in any danger recently. And Higgins asked why. Then Clay said that on March 23rd, God had placed a heavy burden on his heart. He called them into the church, and 16 of them met together and prayed until the burden lifted. And they asked, did God send 16 angels to represent those men and enforce those prayers? I mean, those 16 men came together in agreement, didn't they? They felt the urgency, they felt the need, and they met in agreement. And I think we have to sense an urgency in our heart to pray for what we want from God in our country and in our church and our needs that we have. Talk about coming together in agreement. We come together in agreement. Jesus told us this, and it's a verse you all know. Assuredly I say to you, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. There is wonderful power in the prayer of agreement. And it's interesting, you know, some pray, some agree, but there's equal involvement. We get in groups and some are more comfortable praying and some pray too much, they go on and we know that, but you know, and some aren't that comfortable praying out loud. They may be wonderful prayer warriors by themselves, but the person that is in agreement with what's being prayed has equal involvement. The Bible says where two or more are gathered, when two ask the Father, it'll be done. So as we gather to pray, I want you to first take a moment to thank God, I believe, for this country and then for this church. Spend some time just thanking God. I think that's appropriate. And then I have some appropriate needs for you, that some suggestions that I think are appropriate. In a few moments, we'll put them up on the thing behind us here in a little bit, and I'll give you some ideas what to pray for, and the suggestions, all they really are. But I think starting and thanking God is very important. And then, of course, we celebrate Independence Day. And that's what we're celebrating this weekend, our freedom. And many men and women are in the service today and in some country that puts them in harm's way even right now. So I think it's very appropriate to be praying for our men and our women in the armed forces and for all that's happening across the world today, and it would be very appropriate to pray for them. Our country, as I said a few moments ago, is clearly in need of prayer. Our economy needs God's hand's direction, God's hand and direction and favor, doesn't it? I mean, many are concerned about the economy. And it's not even, we've had times past where the economy was struggling, but with the fuel prices and the grocery prices and all that it's impacting, many have great concerns for coming out of where we're at now and where it may be headed. And many people need work. So I would think as a church it would be appropriate to pray for that. Pray for the economy. Pray for the people of the church and for the needs that they may have and for others in your communities and your surrounding communities. And maybe even most important, when we look at our country, I believe we are in need of a revival. That we, you know, our morals are clearly lacking. If we look back, we looked at a few minutes ago, Red Skelton from 1969, and those of us that remember that era, we would have to say our morals have changed dramatically. I mean, all we have to do is talk about the things we see even just on TV versus what we did when we were kids. You know, and that to mention, we could spend a lot of time on that, but we need to hunger for God and His holiness. And really, one of the only things that will help it is a revival that hits this land. I mean, a true, heartfelt revival that God calls His people to repentance. And true revivals, honest, true revivals that have a lasting impact, always start with repentance. If you do any kind of study of church history and revivals, it starts with repentance. That's where revival comes. It's refreshing. And it really needs to start in the church first, doesn't it? It needs to start in the church and allow that to spread across the country. So I think we should pray for a revival in our land. Certainly our leaders are in need of prayer, from government to spiritual. Whether it's your pastors or the spiritual leaders across the country, myself included, I need your prayer. Our government leaders, I mean, that's scriptural as well. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 4 through 4 says this. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. I mean, it's telling you to pray for those that are in authority, for your leaders, and the result of that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So He encourages us to pray for our leaders across the country. Right now, we're in an important election year. Our future rests on the people that we elect today, doesn't it? I mean, it's extremely important who we elect. And I encourage you to pray for our election. As you do, as you pray for the election this morning, please do not assume that the person you're praying with has the same agreement on candidates that you do. You know, I don't want any fist fights starting here this morning, all right? You know, but we make these assumptions sometimes, and I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to pray for somebody specific. That's something you can do in your personal time. I encourage you, highly encourage you to do that. But pray for the election. Pray for God's will and God's hand to be on the people that are elected from president on down. Amen? Pray for godly men and women to come in there, and those that are elected to have a hunger for God and for God's hand on our country. And then I'm going to ask you to pray for the church. We need prayer. We never want to try to move forward without first praying. And I think it's important. One of the reasons we ask the youth to stay in service today is I think the youth should be praying for their church. The youth should be praying for their country. The youth should be praying for their youth group and all that is involved in it. So as we head into prayer, remember that God hears prayer and that He is in control. We pray not in vain. The effectual, fervent prayer of those that know Christ, the righteous man or woman, is powerful. It avails much. It accomplishes a lot. Chris put quite a bit of time into putting a slide presentation together we're going to show here in just a moment, and it will stir you and encourage you. It's a wonderful representation of the needs we face as a country, the men and women that we honor this weekend, and the reassurance of God's hand as we pray. And so I want you to be encouraged before you go into prayer, but if we could pull that up and watch that, I think you'll enjoy this.
When clouds veil sun, disaster comes, oh my soul, Cloudsville sun. And disaster comes, oh my soul, oh my soul. When waters rise and hope takes flight, oh my soul, oh my soul. Oh my soul, ever faithful, ever true, you are known, you never let go. You never let go, you never let go, you never let go. You never let go, you never let go. Clouds brought rain and disaster came, oh my soul, oh my soul. When waters rose and hope had flown, oh my soul, oh my soul, oh, oh my soul. Faithful, ever true, you are known, you never let go. You never let go, you never let go, you never let go. You never let go, you never let go.
Job on that. Really good, really good. So I think I just want to encourage you that God does hear and answer prayer. In fact, if you paid close attention, she actually had some scenes from the First World War up through current things that are happening, that God has been his hand, has had his hand on this country for a long time. Amen? So I'm going to ask them to put up the PowerPoint with the prayer requests, and if we would stand and spend just the next a little bit of time. We'll put some quiet music on in the background. Maybe grab groups of three or four, turn them to some of your neighbors, and I'll join with you in a couple minutes. And let's spend some time. Again, these are just suggestions. I just want to believe God wants us to spend some time in prayer. So let's do that. Let's grab and get together in groups of three or four and spend some time in prayer. And the youth can get together and pray as a group. That would be a good idea.